You're listening to Vatican Radio. Employment and decent work for all is the best route out of poverty in the world. That's the conviction behind a two-day meeting taking place here in Rome under the auspices of the Pontifical Justice and Peace Council, bringing together a group of Catholic-inspired NGOs and the UN's International Labour Organization. The seminar aims to find ways in which the social doctrine of the Church can make a key contribution to the so-called post-2015 agenda on poverty eradication. I spoke to the president of the Justice and Peace Council, Cardinal Peter Turkson, who addressed the opening session of the seminar on Tuesday morning.
Next year, the Millennium Development Goals, the year set for it, will be up. And on account of that, there are feverish, attempts all over to see what the UN and humanity do, at the end of the MDGs. And so there's already a talk about post-2015 objectives and goals. There's a lot of talk about concentrating on sustainability almost of everything. And if one were to apply this to work, because not all kinds of works are sustainable in the way that they're crafted, in the way that they're designed, in the way that they're pursued, not every work is even sustainable. So right now, the objective over here is actually to position this group collected here, this ILO, to make a decent contribution in the post-2015 discussion that will take place. Of course, it's not going to be one single event. It will be a series of meetings, at which attempts will be made to formulate the post-2015 objectives and goals. So what we have in here is galvanizing or bringing to the Catholic or Christian, or associations or groups, to see how they can position themselves to make a decent contribution to post-MDG goals. Probably one would say that a big guidance is a saying, very popular saying, that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Okay, and this is something that we probably as a church should always, have in our mind. We sometimes just try to intervene, just, ad hoc interventions or just like that, and trust that our moral authority and all of that would sometimes carry us through. But sometimes it's also very necessary to systematically plan our interventions and objectives and have them focused, driven by the type of thing we want to see done. So this meeting then, as a meeting that is trying to kind of guide, the formulation of post-MDG goals, this is very crucial.
Pope Francis has also made very clear that the question of work and employment is a very high priority for him.
It is.
I imagine this is giving extra impetus to the work that's going
certainly.
On here.
Certainly. Like, we started this already quoting him twice, in what he has said about work. That work is not just producing something, but it's also the expression or the fulfillment of the human person. Then not having an occasion to do this also diminishes one's own personality. So employment is not simply the thing of not making money or not having an income. It's also a state that diminishes one's own creativity, and diminishes one's own personality and way of expressing oneself. So, the Holy Father is with us strongly in this. But again, if he's with us so strongly in this, then we must have a way of crafting such a way that it can be fed into the post, 2015 objectives. And having a group like this or session like this to take that with the experiences of several of these, church NGOs or church bodies, all of it is to craft and to, see how we can make a decent contribution and impact to the 2015 goals.
If you're looking at policies, global policies, would you say you're focusing specifically on the developing world, or are you looking at countries continent by continent?
This time I don't think, even the question of work is not to be limited to the developing world. Work has so very many forms. And it has also changed over time. How work was done in the past, in the beginning of the industrial age, was having a very fixed thing to do, a time-bound and all of that. The character of work has changed. People work even from their homes behind their computer. People work in labs and research institutions. So the nature of work itself has changed. The introduction of automation in work. It's kind of replaced a lot of people. And you can say there's a certain amount of unemployment in that regard. Then even when you have, you know, people come to do, whether the income they make is enough to assure them and to secure a decent, you know, existence for them is another question. There have been cases where people have had to work at curtailed hours so that the companies will survive, and so that. But there are a whole lot of challenges now with work and employment, and it pays to simply sit down and see how we can go forward. And on the one hand, everybody talks about not wanting a welfare society. So if we don't want a welfare society and want everybody to realize his, you know, his creative endowments and talents doing work, then we need to see how we can do that. We're caught between automation, driven by profits, and then the need also to provide work to people. And we need to strike a balance between these. To what extent can we automate everything and render workforce redundant? And then say that we don't also want a welfare state. We need to see how we can steer through these, you know, stormy and turbulent experiences of humanity these days.
Will you also be looking at some of the critical issues, for example, like child labor, exploitation,
those
slavery?
And women, yeah, child labor, exploitation, migrant labor, women workforce, and all of that. Child labor, to what extent is, you know, is this allowed? Even child labor and traditional systems which challenge this. By traditional system, I mean in some traditional societies, a father is supposed to introduce a child to his, you know, skills. And he does that by already, you know, having the child follow and work with him. That may appear to some as to be child labor. But in some traditional system, this is a way of introducing a child to their skills and to their, you know, whatever the parents did.
Form of apprenticeship.
Right. And so we need to even distinguish them between child labor, which is exploitative, which exploits the labor force of children because of, you know, poverty, because they can be sometimes even bought or trafficked and all of that. We need to distinguish that from decent forms of introducing child to certain skills of their parents and adults in society. This is a way sometimes of, you know, making a society sustainable in the sense that skills of aging members of society are passed on to the younger ones. This is very well done in certain societies, like in Germany, in a form of apprenticeship, which is a state-supported activity, although it's not given to children. It's usually for people who have finished gymnasium and all of that. But it's a reflection of the need for the state to actively get involved in equipping its younger population to be able to replace the older ones who retire. We have to move away from leaving things to chance and simply saying that, okay, people go to school and they come out and they're qualified to work. But what work? Certain skilled forms of work do not have people prepared to take them. Italy has similar experience. Okay, although we have a lot of unemployed graduates and all, certain jobs require such skills that sometimes they're brought in from outside when there are people here who do not have any work. And it's not enough to simply decry unemployment and then, you know, make promises of finding whatever. But it's good to probably see what industrial places or spaces exist in the country and how the academia can partner with government so that they can prepare people specifically for whatever, so that we don't have redundant graduate, you know, workforce hanging around. You know, so, you know, they too need to come together to plan. You know, to plan in such a way that, you know, they can actually carry out this agenda of having well-prepared working force in the society, diminish unemployment, and give opportunities for people to realize their own creative endowments and talents.
Thanks there to Cardinal Peter Turkson, President of the Pontifical Justice and Peace Council.